Welcome all of you here this morning. Hard to believe this is Thanksgiving week. You know what follows? Ho, ho, ho. Well, there's a lot to get to this morning, so I'll dig right in. If you have your bulletins handy, there are several announcements. I'm just going to highlight three or four. Just a reminder that later this week, church office will be closed. Pastor Arnie is on vacation. And he'll be back the 27th or 28th. A reminder for those who may have Mountain Vision Christmas gifts, please get them in ASAP, no later than the 28th. And looking ahead into December, the congregational meeting's coming up on the 12th. There's some other announcements there for you to take a look at. And one, very special to me, is I love it, just love it, when the kids participate. And there's an insert in your bulletin I strongly encourage you to take a look at and note of. On Christmas Eve service, it's going to include a Christmas pageant and music by the kids. I'm so excited for that. And some more details there for you to take a look at, the dates and practice times, etc. So I like the little part there about parents. Please enjoy a night off. that's cool. So really looking forward to that. And turning our hearts and minds now to prayer concerns. You'll note we have the praise and prayer patch. There's a list of individuals there. And down towards the bottom, you'll note the family of Gene Fetzer, who passed away just on the 17th. And so, you know, Gene and Bonnie were members here for a long time. And so our hearts go out to them this time of loss. And also, just handed another prayer request, Nancy Marty's brother Scott Dessenberg passed away this last Tuesday. So let's please remember the family and Nancy and Galen. Our hearts are with you. Now let's turn our time to prayer. Knowing Thanksgiving's coming up, you know, every day should be a day of thanks for us as brothers and sisters and as children of God. But we do seem to pay attention in particular this week and coming up on Thursday. Hopefully this Thanksgiving for all of you will be a happy and blessed one for me to you. And I hope it'll be a lot different than the last Thanksgiving we had when it was very sketchy and some plans had to be canceled because of the COVID virus, the situation and all. But here we are. Praise God. Okay? And we have so much to thank Him for. I want to start our time of prayer with Psalm 100, kind of set the tone for our time of prayer today. And it goes like this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And all the generations right here, His goodness permeates. Let's take a moment now. Think of something you're thankful for this day. And also think of the individuals that are listed on our prayer patch this morning. So we'll just take a couple silent moments, reach out to our loving Father's heart, get our hearts in tune with His as we ponder gratitude and thankfulness and those in need of our prayer. Father, You are so good to us. Often we forget how good You are. Draw us back to you, Lord, and give us the grace to remember you in our days, our weeks, and our years, until that day we will be with you forever. Lord, you are worthy of our praise, even when we do not understand your ways. Turn our gaze from our frustrations to your faithfulness. Ask that you will shift our sights from our hurts to your hope. And grow us a heart of thanksgiving as we seek to know you more. Lord Jesus, we praise you in all that you are. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the one and only true God, our Savior, provider, counselor, and friend. You are our all in all, and we love you and praise your mighty name. Thank you for this time that we have together this morning. May our worship reflect our love for you. And thank you for your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. And it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Invite my cohort to come up here and we'll lead you in song. And let us sing, "Come, ye thankful people, come." Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own. Sing together. Now thank we all our God. We'll sing two verses.
Count your blessings.
Done, in whom his world reigns.
it still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and a blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. You may be seated.
Hey, kids, come on down. There we go. Guys, I'm going to try to play a game with you. It's a modified game. It's a game we like to play in the summertime at the pool. My kids, I'll say, jump in if you like something. And since we're talking about being thankful, I want to try to pick some things that we're thankful for. And since we don't have a pool, and it probably would be dangerous for this many kids to jump at the same time, I'll just have you guys, like, give a holler or a hoot or something. Can you guys do that? That wasn't a very good holler or hoot. Can you guys do that? All right. Hopefully you guys will be better. Give a holler if you guys are thankful for ice cream. You guys don't sound like kids that would want to go get ice cream. So, like, whatever excitement you would use to jump into the pool, use that excitement to holler out, would you? Give a holler if you like puppy dogs. Yeah! Okay, that's better. Give a holler if you are thankful for your family.
Yeah!
Okay, all right. We got some good families here. Give a holler if you're thankful for birthday parties.
Yeah!
Okay, okay. Give a holler if you're thankful for going in timeout. Okay, let's see. I'll get more creative here. Give a holler if you're thankful for being grounded. Give a holler if you're thankful for losing privileges. Is there any reason to be thankful for some of those last ones? No? Guys, I think there is, actually. Why do you get put in timeout? Why do you get grounded? Why do you lose privileges, Lucy? Oh, thanks, baby. What were you going to say, Lucy? Okay, and what's the goal of us giving, like, parents putting you in timeout or doing something? Yeah, Meta, you've never been in timeout.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Discipline. That's a perfect word. You guys all know discipline? Okay, I'm going to tell you why we should be thankful for that. Okay, in Hebrews 12 in the Bible, it says that God disciplines, that the Bible actually uses the same word Meta did. So thank you, Meta. God disciplines those He loves, okay? So when your parents discipline you like that, or even when things come up in our lives where we feel like God is disciplining us, He's doing that because He loves us, and He thinks of us. And just as our parents, you know, love us as your children, God loves you guys as His children. And that's why He disciplines us. And what's the goal of that discipline? What is the end goal? Like, yeah, we do it because we're maybe out of line or misbehaving, but what do your parents hope to gain from these things? Yeah, Maggie. That you don't do it again. And you learn, right? And you grow and you become a good boy and girl. Okay, so let's pray about this, guys. God, thank you for disciplining us, and thank you for our parents that are diligent to discipline us. Help us to respond the right way, Lord. Help us to be thankful when we're being disciplined, even though that's really hard. Help us to be thankful and to think about what you're trying to do and what our parents are trying to do to us, and that we're meant to grow, and help us to grow and learn from these things and to be more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think we've got dollar offering today, so if you guys could each grab a bucket, and we might not have enough buckets for everybody. Some of you guys might have to double up on buckets, and we're going to go around and we're going to collect dollars if you have them. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I'd just like to thank that wonderful person who had the buckets up here. Sent me into a little bit tizzy as I didn't see him. So thank you, whoever did that. Appreciate it. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of James, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. James 1, 16 to 17. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. May God bless the reading and hearing of his precious word. And now, Tammy.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you all today. I just love seeing all the kids up here, don't you? They were so fun today. It's great to see them. They're fun being up here, and they had all these great answers. But I love when they're rushing out of here, because they're rushing to get to their classes to learn more about Jesus from God's word, right? I mean, that's a great thing to be excited about. And all those kids have with so much enthusiasm and excitement. And I'm sure that many of you will be seeing plenty of kids with all kinds of excitement sometime during this week, right? Kids get so excited when they get to gather together with their cousins and hang out and be silly and, of course, eat all the great food that we're going to see this week at Thanksgiving, especially the dessert, right? Everybody excited about dessert? And no one is excited about dessert here. No. Okay. If Pastor Arnie were here, we know he'd be talking about cherry pie. So he's definitely excited about dessert, I'm sure. And who can blame people for being excited about dessert? So as I was thinking about Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday, I started to wonder about all the food we'll be eating. So I'm kind of a researcher at heart. So when I get a question in my head, I just start digging in and I look up all kinds of stuff about it. So my quick little research project, this is what I came up with. The usual Thanksgiving meal in the U.S. consists of, now see if this is what you get normally at your house, roast turkey, mashed potatoes with gravy, sweet potatoes, maybe mashed, maybe not, bread stuffing, cranberry sauce, sweet corn, vegetables of the season, bread rolls with butter, and of course, pumpkin pie with whipped cream for dessert. So are you all hungry yet? Thinking of all that great food that you'll be eating in the next few days. So then I got onto a little bit of a rabbit trail of my research, and it led me to some statistics about that meal. So here you go. So it's projected that Americans will consume 365 million pounds of turkey for Thanksgiving, and 250 million pounds of potatoes, and then we need to just skip to the important part, 28 million pies. That's a lot of food. And so when I think of all those stats, it makes me think of the food coma that many of us will probably be in once we get done eating all of the great food that we're around at Thanksgiving. And it makes me think, too, have any of the rest of you ever had to unbutton your pants because you've just eaten too much? It's just uncomfortable to sit there anymore, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking of all those stats, millions and millions of pounds of this, and I'm thinking, okay, the food is great, but yeah. So it's great thinking of all the great meals that we'll be sharing with family and friends as we celebrate Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday this week. But to tell you the truth, it makes me a little bit sad when I hear the word Thanksgiving, that those are the things that I think of first, a meal and a holiday. Now, don't get me wrong, those are good things. Those are blessings, the food we have to eat and the family we have to gather with. But it is a little sad for me that my brain goes to those things first, especially at this time of year. So what else is there? So when I looked up the word Thanksgiving on my phone, again, researcher, and at this point, you know, those of you who have the great smartphones, we do everything on our phones now, right? So I'm very thankful for my phone. But so when I looked up the word Thanksgiving, this is what I got. Definition number one, the expression of gratitude, especially to God. And then definition number two, in North America, the annual holiday marked by religious observances and a traditional meal, including turkey. So it's really sad to me then that I put the meal and the holiday first when even Google put gratitude to God above turkey. So gratitude to God, just being thankful, but thankful for what? I'm sure we've all heard these verses from 1 Thessalonians. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then our scripture reading for today added even more. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So we're to be thankful in all of these, in all circumstances, for every good and perfect gift that is from a God, from above, it's from God. So when we think of all these good and perfect gifts that have come to us in all of these circumstances, I think it's safe to say that our minds move first to those happy kinds of things. Great food, family, time to gather together with them, and on and on. It's not hard to think of happy things to be thankful for. But then there's that little word in there, all. All circumstances. And that other little word, every. Every good and perfect gift. It doesn't say every happy gift in all happy circumstances, all and every. Pastor Arnie spoke to you last week about thankfulness from the book of Esther, about being thankful for some happy kinds of things, for general blessings from where we come from and for this time right where we are just this moment. I want to talk about some more things, some of those things that are a part of that little word all and that other little word every. When I was thinking and praying about what to speak to you about this week as we were leading up to Thanksgiving, God kept bringing me back to that hall of faith that you all spent some time talking about over the past couple of months. So let's jump in there. If you have your Bible with you and you'd like to follow along, go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's take a look at Abraham, starting in verse 6. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God said to Abraham, go, and Abraham went. We don't know what that looked like or felt like for Abraham. We can't be inside his head to know the type of wrestling that he went through as he decided if he would obey and go where God was sending him. He had no idea where he was going, but he went anyway because God said to go. And later in verse 11, we see Abraham, who is old, with a wife beyond the natural ability to bear a child, but God said that he would have a son through Sarah, and Abraham believed God. And then in verses 17 and 18, we see an even harder situation. God had led Abraham to a place that he was to go. Actually, sorry, let's go through verses 17 and 18. So we see a harder situation in 17 and 18. So by faith, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So God had led Abraham to the place that he was to go. God had given Abraham a child with his wife Sarah, even though they were both old. And now God was telling Abraham to kill that child in a sacrifice that was very much like what the people of that area did when they worshiped their false gods. Abraham faced even this circumstance, and he chose to do what God was telling him to do. He had no idea what God was doing. He had no idea how all these things fit together, but he knew God, and he knew that God was good and perfect, and he trusted God. And again, even though Abraham didn't know what God was doing, God came through, And Abraham's faith in God grew, his belief in God grew, his understanding that God's ways are not his ways grew. And Abraham was made better by what he experienced in those circumstances. So even these difficult things that were, I'm sure, painful and hard to face were gifts from God. All right, let me see if I do this right. So we can be thankful when we don't know what God is doing. Just as God grew Abraham's faith and belief and trust in those difficult circumstances, God will grow our faith and our belief and our trust in him when we face the difficult circumstances in life, walking with him through it all. And we can be thankful for those circumstances because they are gifts from God to build us up in him. They are gifts from God to help us learn what is said in verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We can be thankful when we don't know what God is doing. Now let's jump ahead some to a section of Hebrews that you probably wouldn't have expected me to share today as we talk about thankfulness. So let's jump ahead to Hebrews 11, verse 32. So we've got this long list of people here. So we'll start with this list of people. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Well, those are all really easy things to be thankful for, right? Like, it's all good turnouts. Whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were... Now, those things are easy to be thankful for. Now we get to the hard things. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. So we can be thankful when we are persecuted because of Jesus. We don't often use the word persecuted because we don't really face that here in the United States. We don't live in the same places of the world where people are killed just because they believe in Jesus, or they're put in prison just because they believe in Jesus. But we are sometimes mistreated because we believe in Jesus. And Jesus himself talked about it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. He said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So that long list of people that we heard, that list of things that were not so easy to be thankful for, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad about those things because you have a great reward in heaven. Those things that we go through when we're mistreated because of Jesus, because of our faith, those things help us to grow our conviction. It helps us to continue to grow our faith in God and to not be ashamed of Jesus. And we never want to be ashamed of Jesus, of his gospel. So we can be thankful when we are persecuted because of Jesus. All right, so now we're going to move on to chapter 12 of Hebrews. And I think Jake pretty much said everything that I was about to say. And he did it better than I could have done here with the kids. So I'm just going to go ahead and go to the slide, and then we'll talk for a minute about that. We can be thankful when we're disciplined because it means we are God's children. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, it says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons." And then in verses 10 and 11, he says, "God disciplines us for our own good, for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." We are treated as God's children. We are God's children when we have believed in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and we've confessed it with our mouths. When we are not ashamed of the gospel, we are God's children. And just like parents here, how many of you have children here? Yeah. So, and have you ever had to discipline your children? Now, I can tell you that I was a very ornery child growing up, and I was blessed with a very, very ornery son. Very, very ornery. I was paid back for all of the orneriness that I ever put my parents through. In fact, that was something that I was told many times by my mom. You don't get to complain about anything your son does because you probably did worse. But, so I had to be disciplined many, many times growing up, and I never liked it. Not once did I like it. But it taught me how I was to act. It taught me how I was to be, and it taught me how I was to treat other people. And that's what we discipline our children for, just like Jake talked about. We have our children who do things that they shouldn't be doing. The kids, I love their answers. Why do we get disciplined? Because we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. It's great. At least they know why we're disciplining them. That's good. But we discipline our children because they're not doing what they should be doing, and God does the same for us. He disciplines us because we aren't doing what we should be doing. We aren't keeping our eyes fixed on him. We turn to the side, and we focus on those things that we shouldn't be focused on, and we don't treat people the way we should be treating people. And God disciplines us, and it's for our own growth. He says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." That definitely seems like something we could be thankful for, right? Not lacking anything. But those things that God does to discipline us, those hard things that we go through that teach us the lessons that he wants us to learn, those grow our faith, they grow our perseverance, they make us mature, and it grows our knowledge of who we are, that we are God's children. And all of that can bring us back to our scripture verse for today. "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." All of those great, happy things that we can be thankful for, those are gifts from God, but so are the difficult things. The times that we have no idea what he's doing and we're confused, and we have the decision to make whether we're going to trust him and follow him and obey him or not. And those times when we're being mistreated just because we love Jesus. And the times when we're being disciplined because we're doing what we shouldn't be doing. Those are all gifts from the Father above also. Those are gifts from our good and perfect Father. Now, I know that I'm finishing a little early, but Yeah. So I'm just going to go ahead and let's just pray, and then we'll have our final song then. Lord God, we just thank you so much for every gift that you give to us. We thank you for the gifts that look happy, the gifts that are easy to be thankful for, the gifts that we get excited about, like ice cream and trips to the pool even, all those things that the kids were excited about. We thank you for all of those gifts, Lord, but we also thank you for those gifts that are hard, those gifts that are difficult, that can be painful. We thank you for those things as well. And God, we just ask that you would help us to keep our eyes open so that we would see those gifts that you're sending to us from above, those good and perfect gifts, those gifts that we can be thankful for, and help us to have thankful hearts. And God, as we go throughout this week, heading into this Thanksgiving holiday, we just lift up to you all of those who will not be able to be with family, those who don't have family, whether because they've suffered loss of a family member or those who just don't have family around. I think especially of those who were in the foster system and have aged out but don't have a family to go home to. Lord, we also lift up to you those who can't be with their family because they're away from home, whether they're serving overseas in the military or serving overseas as missionaries, or whether they are going to have to be working during that time and can't be with family. Lord, we lift them up to you as well. God, we lift up to you all those who are hurting, who need your comfort during this time. And we just ask that you would help us to be mindful of those people and to continue to pray for them as we are thankful for all that you have given us. And Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen.
I had a personal experience of trying to count blessings. Of course, a couple weeks ago, I was supposed to be in California by now for a memorial service. And I'm at the airport with notifications, the flight's being delayed. I'm going to miss my connection. Oh dear, what to do? Well, there's a shining light. I really want to go out there because I get to see my granddaughter. And I get a notification that she's been diagnosed with COVID. And I'm in the midst of this stupid airport. But thankfully, God has a reason. And there is a blessing. I am going to leave, hopefully, this week. And she's recovering. And I'll be with family. It all comes together. To God be the glory. But I had to give him that frustration, but turn it over and count the blessings. So let us stand and sing, Count Your Blessings.
Surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their hands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
As I said at the beginning of the service, I wish all of you a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving. Think about all those blessings. There's a storehouse of them awaiting us in heaven, and we got a bunch all around us right now, and I'm looking at a bunch right now. You're all blessings to me. I love you all very much. Thank you, Tammy. You want to have a closing? Yes.
This one? Okay. Oh, here we go. All right. I love that we started with Psalm 100 because that's what I wanted to end us with, was Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So as you go throughout this week, spending great time with your family and eating great food, may you be focused on being thankful for every gift that God has given you, the good, the ones that look wonderful, and the ones that look painful, but to be thankful for every single gift that God has given you. Have a wonderful week.